Thank you so much. Thank you, Luke, for the kind introduction. This is my third time to America and first time to Michigan. So you have to bear with my English. Talking about mercy, a guy cried out to God, God, give me justice. And God responded to him, no, you need mercy. You don't need justice. So actually, this morning, I would like to come and share about standing for the truth, because several weeks before leaving Thailand, I was reported to the police, because I posted about against a cult from Korea coming to Thailand to teach false teaching. His founder, his pastor, said that he's a second Jesus who has come to bring 144,000 people back to heaven. So that's what we have in Thailand. So I will share a little bit before the preaching of the word. I will share about what we have done in Qingdao Compassion Home. Could you put that on? Yep. This is Qingdao Compassion Home. We have just been in the south with William and Sylvia Millers. Can you move on, please? Yeah. William and Sylvia Miller were co-founders of this project in Qingdao. We call Qingdao Compassion Home. In the next photo, you will see the first batch of a group of children where we brought from all around northern Thailand. I think in the first batch, that was 20 years ago when we started in 2002. We just celebrated 20 years, and it was a few months ago. And in this photo, you can see some of the little kids in the photos. And later on, as we count back, as we look back at the mercy and the kindness of God through our project, we have seen about 200 children pass through this project. Many of them are from Hmong, Karen, Langhu, Lisu, Akha, Shan, and these are tribals in the north of Thailand, and some of them are Thai. And I just want to show you this video clip for to see what we are doing in the project. This is about 80 kilometers up north of Chiang Mai.
Hello from Northern Thailand and the Qingdao Compassion Home. The Compassion Home was started in 2002, and our goal here at the Compassion Home
Doc
is
Yoder
to provide
from Ohio,
a safe place,
working with
a loving
us in
place
Qingdao now.
To care for children. All of the children here at the Compassion Home come from really hard, broken backgrounds. So our desire here at the Compassion Home is to provide a loving place and a safe place for these children to live and to grow up. And it's our desire to give these children an opportunity to hear about Jesus and to experience the love of Jesus. And we have daily Bible reading times and prayer times. And on Sunday, we have times of worship together where the children are actively involved in the worship service. And yes, just our desire to give these children an opportunity to experience and to know the love of Jesus. So the children all go to the public schools around here, to three different schools, and we take them to school in what we call the Songtail, which is a truck with a roof on the back. And they go around 7 o'clock in the morning and then come home again in the afternoons around 3:30. So the children here obviously have some free time as well. A lot of the times they're playing on the playground or playing on the swings or the trampoline. And for especially the boys, but the girls also, they love playing football or soccer, as we say in the States. The children here are involved in a football club. It's called Emmanuel Football Club. Usually about once a month or so, a bunch of different teams get together and just have a fun time of playing soccer together and some good competition. It's our burden to care for the emotions of the children and to just be a listening ear for them and to be there when they have things that are hard and just to play with them and interact with them and just find the little opportunities to show them that they're special and cared for and loved by us and loved by Jesus. The Compassion Home is supported through our sponsorship program, where each one of our children here has a sponsor in the United States, and that sponsor would then be able to pray for the child and correspond with the child and financially support that child as they live here at the Compassion Home. Then that money would be used here at the Compassion Home to pay that child's way through school and provide for their housing and paying for their life here at the Compassion Home. The children all have chores that they need to do in the evenings and on Saturdays, giving them an opportunity to learn how to work and to be diligent. All of the older children wash their own laundry by hand, and they help with the cooking and the gardening and just a bunch of different things, just giving them an opportunity to learn daily tasks and things that will be helpful for them through their life. And finally, prayers are very vital to this work. We just ask that you would please pray for the children here at the Compassion Home and for the staff. It is taxing work and it can be tiring at times, but your prayers do make a difference, and we just ask that you please do pray for the children here and the staff at the Compassion Home. So thank you for your support and your prayers. We appreciate it. God bless.
สวัสดีครับ. Hello to everyone. My name is Desha. My wife and I administrator for Chengdao Compassion Home for 20 years because Chengdao Compassion Home start on 2002 with 12 children. We are take care between 30 and 40 children. There are 5 Thai workers. We want to give children have a good education. Some of children go to university after they graduation from high school. At Chengdao Compassion Home, we have many activities, many projects. And we have a special class for children because some children they want to be a doctor. I have an extra class for children for go to a medical school. Okay. And thank you so much for you can support us. And God bless you. Thank you so much for talk with you. สวัสดีครับ.
After 20 years, we have seen some fruits from the project. This first guy, like you may observe from the first group photo with William, is called Thanakrit Nimit Hatai. He came to us when he was 11 years old and entered into grade 5 until grade 12. Then he moved on to study until he finished Bachelor of Art in Public Science because his connection was our English volunteers. His English is quite outstanding until he was accepted into a private hospital, working with a private hospital. Then later on, he was invited to work with another international corporation. So he went to be a trainer in China and continued his study until he finished Master of Art, I think in areas of training, and he returned back to Thailand now becoming a strategist in a leading oil company in Bangkok. So something good about this, he's one of the leaders of his colleague. So from time to time, like once a year, he would gather all his friends to visit the younger ones, so they would do party and try to encourage the younger children to be diligent in their studies and give them some candy, some cake, which is a nice thing we want to see happen. Second one is Hatthaikan. She came to us at the age of 9 years old. In grade 3, now she finished a Bachelor of Art in English and become the owner of a real estate company in Chiang Mai with her husband. These two, they would come back to the project once a year to encourage the younger one in their studies. The third one, Napon Pierpak, who came to us at the age of 9 years old in grade 3. Now she's just finished a Bachelor of Arts in Physical Education. And she married to a guy and own a cattle farm in Chiang Rai. Another one, Pontip Lao Wang. If someone used to go to Qingdao Compassion Home, she was one of the little girls. I mean, she's always little. She's older, but her body is so little. And she finished Bachelor of Education from one of the leading university of Thailand, Chiang Mai University. And now she is a school teacher at a government school. So it is thrilling to see what God has done through this little one. And another one is Patipat Suk Anothai. He came to us when he was 8 years old in grade 2. Now he just graduated a Bachelor of Law, and while waiting to be in a law occupation, he is general manager of a hotel in Chiang Mai. The next one is Phoebe Jato, who came to us at the age of 8 years old. So when you look at the group photo, there would be very small children in that group. Now she finished her Bachelor of Art in Community Development and become a school teacher in Thailand. Another one is Hemawan Thaya. Her mother was one of our church members. When she was dying, she came to us, asking us to take care of this young lady. And when she was about 8 years old, and she cannot finish the university, but finishing high school, and she got married to an orchard owner. Now she has her own vendor of fruits in Qingdao. She sells like durian. So look, and some missionaries would know about durians. In Thailand, we call it tastes like heaven. smell like hell. Durian is a great fruit. Some of them call king of fruit. So the Chinese like that. But every year she would bring up some of her durian to the little kids to enjoy. So that's a nice picture we want to see happen among our project. We have some other high school students who just finished high school and now getting ready or already in university program. San Sivayapram, actually he is a son to the project director, Dr. Decha. San just finished his high school and now in the fifth year of dentistry studies. So when you look at his photo, the next one, he was just a little boy here. Now, another study for one more year, he will become a dentist. And the next one is Arunothai Chacha. Arunothai Chacha is studying nursing science in year four. Arunothai, her nickname is Chacha. Her English is so outstanding. She won English contest in her home school in Qingdao, which is about 80 kilometers from Chiang Mai, of course, considered a rural area for Chiang Mai, but she won and become a representative of her school for the higher contest in the provincial level. And she also won that English debate. So the Chiang Mai has to send her from rural area to do a contest in Bangkok. And praise God, she also won the contest in Bangkok and all awarded the best English speech, English speech giver. So that's a very interesting thing that God, we see God's favor and God's grace over our children in the project, because every morning they will come up and do their devotion and seeking God, and we have trained them in leadership as well as spiritual discipline. Well, like Chacha, when she was so nervous, concerned about what's going to happen in the contest, she would invite her friends to join in reading Gideon's scripture from English to practice, and we have seen that the Lord honor her faith. The next one is Chantira Maya. Chantira Maya now studying in Bachelor of Education in year four. Next year she will become another school teacher. This one is very interesting. Wasana Jiaoyu came to us when she was only 7 years old. Now she is in third year of social welfare science in another leading university in Lampang, Thammasat University. She said because she has seen the pattern, the models in the lives of our workers, now she wants to return, prepare herself, and come back to serve in the project. She will be the first one, the first fruit among our 200 students who return and want to serve the project. This will be a great thing to see happening among our children. This guy, Wichai Jaka came to us quite early in his life, like 6 years old, following his elder brother because there would be no one to take care of him at home. So the brother just bring him along. And William said, when we look at the photo, in the next photo, William said, when everyone went to school, he's the only one left at home. So he has nothing to do because he was not old enough to go to school. So he would ride on William's neck when William worked. So now he said he would like to dedicate himself as a servant of God. So we sent him to a Bible school to study Bachelor of Theology. So he's really on fire for the Lord. He would like to serve him in full-time capacity. Another one is Charissa Sivayapram. This is a youngest sister of Decha, who is our administrator. Now she finished high school and is waiting to do another exam to become a dentist in university. And her next photo, that's how young she was when we began the project. So now she will become another dentist. We have a few more. Sulada Chia'u, now studying agricultural engineer, and she will finish her studies very soon. The last one, Darani Jatsa, she's waiting to do university exam to study in higher education. At the moment, we have five full-time staff and a family of volunteer, Doug and Missy Yoder, and we have 37, roughly 40 students in the project. You can see the following, just see the following photos. Yeah. Some of them in primary school, some of them in secondary school. Most of them will study in a school nearby. Sometimes you kind of ask, what can a small project like this do to the big country like Thailand? We have a population of 70 million, but the Christian population at the moment is about 1%. We have about 600,000, roughly 600,000 to 700,000 of Christian population in the country. And we need a lot of prayers. We need to work harder. We praise God for many encouragement, word of encouragement that soon we will see the breakthrough in the country. In 5 years' time, Thailand will celebrate 200 years of Protestant coming to Thailand, but we still need to see this breakthrough and the great harvest among our people. So we are praying for what we call Vision 1030. 10% of Christian population by the year 2030. We can do everything, but like Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We can see in some small way that these children, without any hope, without any help, came to us. When we first started 20 years ago, we won't know what's going to happen to their lives. But now we begin to see some good change. Who knows that one day the Lord may use one of them to bless their community. We can do, we may not be able to save all, but at least we have saved some souls. Like Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What's the power of the gospel we preach? What's the seed of the gospel we sown? In 20 years' time, 10 years' time, it has grown up and begin to bear some fruits. Together with prayer and support, we'll see this fruit when they become 104, 64, 34. Whatever we have done to the kingdom of God will not be in vain. Whatever we done for the sake, for His name's sake, we will bless, and little by little, we will see Thailand coming to the Lord. On the way back from here, I hope to be able to visit. Actually, I will be stopped over in Istanbul, which is home of the seven churches of Revelation. Many of you might know that. Modern Turkey was actually the home of the seven churches of Revelation. The photo there, some of my friends who visited there said, this was the spot where Paul invited the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and meet him, which we don't know exactly where it is. It may be this part, but many times when you go to the Holy Land or the land of the Bible, they just claim that this part is that. But when I look at these photos, there was one spot said, this was the spot where Paul met with the elders of the Ephesus church. I feel like sad, because of course you know there is no more church in that area. Turkey become almost totally Muslim. But the place where it once a location for the seven churches, and of course the thriving churches back then, now become just desolate and foreign to the gospel of the kingdom. I would like to read the word that Paul has given to the elders of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, from Acts 20:28. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood, warns them to false teachers." Paul has a warning, actually his warning was twofold. First, he said in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Simply said that he's warning against the false teacher. Secondly, in verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So we see here the two warnings against false teachings and also against those who might, the teacher among themselves who might twist the truth. First will be the grievous wolf or someone from outside who tried to come in and deceive the disciples. But second one is probably more dangerous because they are among the people. We already trust them, but they are not faithful to the truth of the gospel. So you will see that happen. They twisted the truth of the gospel, and that can lead people astray. Like in Korea, you might have heard that this is one of the fast-growing churches in the history of the church. When you go to Korea, you can see the sign of the crosses everywhere in Seoul. But now they said Seoul, Korea, the whole Korea, maybe 1,000 churches are closed down every year. And there are about 100 active pastors who claim themselves to be Christ. So you may hear a few here and there, but from inside they said at least 100 pastors, both male and female, claim themselves to be Christ at his return. So that's what's happening, and Paul warned against this. His warning is also twofold. He said, first, we need to take care of ourselves as leaders of the flock. We need to take care of ourselves, because if we do not take care of ourselves, our life will not be any benefit to anybody. And secondly, he encouraged the elders to take care of the flock of God that God has put under their care, because the two dangers that will come into the church. We can say that this is the warning or even the prophecies as Paul foresee what was going to come after his departure. Several decades later, when you look at the warning of Jesus to the church of Ephesus, he talked to Jesus has appeared, revealed himself to John the Apostle, and you will see that the church of Ephesus was facing the same two dangers. He said, "Thou cannot bear with them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." So the first group that Jesus talked to John about, the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2, was actually someone who claimed to be apostle, someone who claimed to be teacher, but they have twisted the truth. This is what happening in Ephesus around AD 99. And secondly, Jesus talked about the Nicolaitans, which is another false group, a cult that attacking the church of Ephesus. In the next photo, you will see the ruins of Ephesus. Actually, there are no more churches, no more existing churches in Turkey now. So, it is that bad when you're not care to take care of the church, when you not care to take care of the flock that God has put under your care. So Paul has described about the progression of, I would say, the fighting between the battle between the truth and the lies in Romans chapter 1. 16 was the famous word we know. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he proceed on verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Next, you see some more description of things that happen when people forsake the truth. Actually, another version said, the wrath of God is revealed against the suppression of truth with righteousness. They use the suppression the truth with unrighteousness. They use all acts of unrighteousness to suppress the truth. And you can see from here that once people reject the truth, there will be, right away, there will be two kinds of sins, two kinds of major sins. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompenses of their error which was made. And even as they did not like the to retain God, I think I have not full verses, but it just plainly just said that when men reject the truth of God, there will be two major sins happening. First, idolatry. They just turn to worship all kinds of animals, all kinds of idols. And secondly, Paul put it here, they become pervert in their act, which is homosexuality. You see this happen, I think it began somewhere here in America, where the same-sex marriage is endorsed. Their sign or their symbol is rainbow. So the preacher will decorate himself with a stola of rainbow to marry man to man. I think many conservative denomination now has changed their wedding handbook from man married to one man married to one woman become these two persons marry one to another. So that's what happening here. There is a church called Douglas UCC. I think they have a slogan, a just world for all. They call themselves progressive Christians. Progressive Christians, at first, it seemed to pursue the teaching of New Age. But now with the new movement of the pride gay and the homosexuality, the preacher now changed into homosexuality and make the whole church Douglas UCC claimed to have about 5,000 branches in America, consisting of about 1 million members. Now they sort of endorse same-sex marriage, and this pastor, his name was Salvatore Sapienza. I don't know which nationality, but he's one of the main pastors in Douglas. You see his stall in Rainbow, and his biography there said, Salvatore lives with his husband, Greg, in another part of the town. So this is perversion, simply perversion. Now, progressive Christians not only twisted the teaching of the gospel, but they also promote same-sex marriage. They claim to be the first church that ordained gay minister, ordained transgender minister. And they said they're open and accept all. So this is one of the latest trends of the world. And from here, it's spreading to many parts of the world. We just saw a gay pride parade in Bangkok, and they will do another one in Chiang Mai. And the new government, we have just general election in Thailand. The new government is being formed, and this winning party is known for their liberalism. They promote same-sex marriage and will pass a law to endorse same-sex marriage in Thailand. Like I mentioned earlier, before I came, I was reported to a police about from this leader of Chin Chonji. Have you ever heard of that name? Chin Chonji means new heaven. It's a new heaven cult invading Thailand now. Actually, we would have maybe five cults from Korea, four cults from Korea and one from China. All the cults from Korea, all of them, the pastor claimed to be Jesus Christ. And one cult from China is the leader of the group claimed to be Jesus incarnated in a female form. So this is perversion. This is liar. But believe it or not, they have followers like millions, 2-3 millions. And this group just invade Thailand, and they don't really want to go and preach outside. They just want to attack the church. So you see the big picture that it is a battle between truth and deception. Talking about Christ, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Then when you see the coming of the Antichrist, he will come in the opposite. He will bring in deception. He will bring death, destruction to people. So that's what's happening. The next slide was talking about this group in Thailand coming out of in Thailand called Rainbow Stream. Of course, when talking about rainbow, it just means this pride gay group. Rainbow was a symbol of God's mercy upon human. Like God promised to Noah, right? He said there will be no more flood upon the world. But rainbow can mean the sign of destruction by fire. because God promised that He will not give the flood to the world anymore as a result of judgment. But like you see, in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire from heaven come down to burn the whole city. This rainbow stream is promoting what they call affirming theology, meaning like among you, maybe some gay, some LGBT people. Of course, as a general rule, we would just welcome them to the church. But then, these people want more. They have their own agenda. They want to be part of the ministry. They want the church to affirm their marriage, like men can marry men in the church, or women the same. So they come up with the new teaching called affirming theology. So one day I saw a young man from Bangkok who was quite influential in Bible teaching. He proclaimed to be someone affirming the same-sex marriage. And he said, because the new party is winning in Thailand, let's celebrate by teaching this affirming theology. So he began to teach online, saying that, for example, like in Genesis 18 and 19, saying that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not sodomy, was not homosexuality. It may be just selfishness. It may be just something else. God bring down the fire, not because they had sexual perversion. So I reposted it and said something against that. And the young guy said, do you want to do a debate? So he was asking for a debate. So I said, let's do this. Let's do it through a Christian media, a national Christian media, which they would teach some public issue online. So we arranged for that, and I said, actually, we want to do it live on site, sort of dialogue or debate in Bangkok. But the Christian media said it is a hot issue. Let's do it right away. So they want to do it during I am here. So it was happened on May 31st. They invited several speakers to come online and talk about affirming theology. Some part of the teaching of affirming theology they bring up, like Genesis 1:27. When I look at that, it's just a simple word, like God created man to be male and female, and the two shall become husband and wife, the two shall become one, and God blessed them to be multiplied. So I said, what's the point in here? It is so clear, it is so simple, that you don't really need to discuss, like, it is so plain. We have two genders, male and female. They said, no, it's actually, we cannot interpret this part literally. There are not just two genders. Like you can see from their movement, at first, they call themselves LGBT. You know that? L is lesbian. G is gay. And B is bisexual. T is transgender. Now they add to that Q, which is queering or questioning. Someone who do not know whether they are male or female, still questioning. So they put the Q in there. And that's not all, because there are several other abbreviations. LGBTQIAN plus. Plus meaning still open for more, because some of the purifiers said, you cannot call us unrighteous, you cannot call us immoral. The old guy who want to have sex with younger children, which is bad in many cultures, of course. But these people said, this is just what we call sexual orientation, and you don't have right to blame us as immoral. So plus can be anything even more. To them, according to their definition, there are at least 32 genders, not just two. And I think in New York, they just passed a law for parents not to specify their children as male or female, as boy or girl, until they can choose their gender, probably at the age of 18. This is perversion. This is against the truth of God, because God just simply said, there will be man and woman, and only man and woman can be multiplied, can respond to God's calling, so that we have many children and the world will be filled with all sons and daughters of God. And these people just come with an agenda to kill, to be against God's will for human. So it's just almost like coincidence that these two things are happening now in the world. Twisted truth and false teaching. We are fighting against this. How can we protect our flock from this? Back to Romans chapter 1:16. I trust in the power of the gospel. You see, when we try to protect our flock, sometimes we can be misleading by using our own effort, but it says there, Romans 1:16, For the gospel of Christ is the power of God. It doesn't say that there is power in the gospel, but it says the gospel is the power in itself. The word of the gospel must be preached to all human, children or adult. When we preach that gospel, the truth of the gospel will invade inside human heart. It's not all our effort. That's not rely on our effort, but the power of the gospel will come into the heart of human and bring them unto salvation. So from time to time, it is good. It is necessary for us as preachers to bring our people back to the essence of the gospel. When we do communion, we just want to emphasize the power of the gospel in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Just bring them back time to time. Let the power of the gospel work inside our people. People come to me because they have known that I am one of the teachers who stand against false teaching. They ask me this question: what is the best way to protect our flock from deception and lies? The best way is not trying to teach them all the false teachings. The best way is just present the truth and always bring back the truth into their heart. Because when we stand firm in the truth, we will be able to discern the false and the deception. I want to read the last portion here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Let's back up a little bit, 2 Thessalonians. Here Paul was talking about the revelation of the Antichrist. He said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Loving the truth is the way to be saved from the lying, from the deception of the Antichrist. Paul said here, for they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pressure in unrighteousness. This is fearful, because whatever is going to happen in the last days, there will be a great deception, a great delusion. We won't believe 10 or 20 years back that our society will become this perverted. But there will be the appearance of another man who not only comes with this false teaching, but Paul said he will come with miraculous signs just to deceive people to follow him, to depart from the truth. The only way for us to be saved is to love the truth and to cultivate the love of the truth among our flock. The best way to protect our flock is just to bring the power of the gospel, the essence of the gospel, back before them from time to time. So when only by the love of the truth that we all will be saved until the end. So I'd like Brother Chad Gable to come up and pray for us all. Let God keep us in His truth. May God keep us in the love of His truth, so that we will be saved when upon His return. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Prapon, for sharing the truth with us this morning. It was a privilege to work with you in Chiang Mai, both with IGO and with GTO. We had some back and forth in my time there. Thank you for bringing us the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are truth, that you have given us your word, and you have brought us into relationship with you. I pray that you would defend your church and guide us as we stand for the truth that you are. I pray for the family here at Calvary Chapel in the week ahead and in the months ahead. As we go from here, help us to watch for the devil's lies and to confront it with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. hey,